information at afi.com/silver or 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday this time. At the same time, WPFW 89.3 FM, Crossroads on WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. And this morning, we have, as usual, we will have another topic that you will find interesting. We're dealing with a subject about failure to pay child support and it's driving mass incarceration. And we have an expert on, or an authority on, somebody who's very knowledgeable about this particular topic and a lot of other topics. But before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use, the grapevine. Oh! Hey. This Sunday is Father's Day, and churches all over America and around the world are celebrating Father's Day. And we decided to highlight the church that we attend, Union Temple Baptist Church, this Sunday, 1225 W Street from 12 to 3. They are having a Father's Day brunch at Union Temple. And the Father of the Year Award would go to Dr. Edwin Chapman. And believe me, he has really earned it. This doctor has been in the community working on the front line in drug abuse, substance abuse, trying to get people's lives straight. Dr. Chapman is very deserving of this particular award. So this Sunday from 12 to 3 at Union Temple, 1225 W Street, you can come out and have a Father's Day brunch and meet some outstanding folk who are working in the front line in this community to make things safe for all of us. Hats off to you, Dr. Chapman, for being selected the Father of the Year. There's a Community Father of the Year, a Returning Citizens Father of the Year, an Incarcerated Father of the Year, and the Young Father of the Year. So there's four or five fathers that's being recognized in different categories. And that's been what we call the Father's Day brunch. Here we go with the grapevine. Mothers of imprisoned sons struggle emotionally and financially with no support. Right now in the U.S., more than 1 million mothers are pouring energy and money into trying to care for the incarcerated sons and daughters. Ooh. Federal Bureau of Prisons issues directive to expand home confinement advance to First Step Act. I wonder how that's going to turn out. Special report, Life After Lockup, the reality of reentering society after prison. For those men and women that did 30, 40, 50 years, it's like being released in the middle of a hurricane. You come from a prison with the energy level is 10 or 20%. You're thrown out into the community, and the energy and the pace of society is 100%, 100 miles an hour. So being released after a long period of incarceration is like being released to a tornado, because you got to deal with everything and anything. In custody deaths remain mired in darkness. Jails are some of the deadliest facilities in the U.S., and they continue to operate as black holes with very little oversight from the counties and sheriffs that run them. Is Trump's ban on gender-affirming care for trans prisoners unconstitutional? Federal judge to consider whether the government can withhold gender-affirming care from people incarcerated in federal prisons. And lastly, 2,250,000 children are estimated to have at least one parent who is incarcerated on any day in prison. Now, let me repeat that. 2,250,000 children are estimated to have at least one parent who is incarcerated on any day in America. Over 55,000 American children end up in foster care when their parents are incarcerated. Most of these children were in the foster care system at least twice during their parents' incarceration. 78% of women entering prison are mothers, and 64% are fathers. Additionally, 6% of women are pregnant when they enter prison. Most of these women will be separated from their babies shortly after giving birth. And here's something that really caught as a surprise. 50% of incarcerated parents are never visited by their children. 50% of incarcerated parents are never visited by their children. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Now we want to get to our subject. Our guest this morning is Mr. Paul Wright. Back in the 1980s, Paul Wright was being written up in police reports and newspaper crime columns. Today, he's featured in the current issue of the Columbia Journalism Review. Having served 17 years for murder, he has learned to knock off his adversaries with mere words of wisdom. Paul Wright detailed his evolution from convicted murderer to freed editor to the now 56-page PLN, Prison Legal News, with subscribers in 50 states and internationally. He recalls in particular a story he published about white guards at Chelan Bay Prison beating up a black inmate. Good morning, Brother
morning,
Paul
Rich.
White.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. Man, every time we call, you always say yes. You never said no. Man, I want to thank you for being available to us this morning. And we saw this article in Prison Legal News, the last edition, the May edition of 2025. And it says multitudes caged for failure to pay child support during driving mass incarceration. What is this all about? Why is non-payment of child support driving mass incarceration?
Well, one of the things we've been looking at is what's driving the numbers. You know, here we are in the United States. We've got 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's prisoners. So what's making this happen? Why does the United States have five times more people locked up than the rest of the world? And so we've been looking at a lot of the factors that are causing this. And literally one of the things that's led to this is the fact that the United States criminalizes a lot of behavior, a lot more behavior than they do in other parts of the world. We also have longer sentences. And one of the things that's also a critical factor is that we also lock people up for things that aren't necessarily criminal. And that's where the child support comes in. And one of the things that's interesting is that there's really no central repository of information. The number we've come up with is that on any given day, there's around 50,000 people locked up. Most of them men. Around 90-95% of these 50,000 people on any given day are men. And they're being locked up because they're too poor to afford to pay court-ordered child support. And technically, this isn't a criminal offense. Technically, it's a civil offense. But, if you're sitting in prison or jail for not doing something, I think it doesn't really matter if it's a criminal offense or a civil offense, because you're still locked up. You're still deprived of your freedom, and you're still literally locked in a cage. And it's interesting because, you know, in some of the states, it's really, these are like really big numbers. South Carolina is one of the states that they really like locking people up for not being able to pay child support. And kind of one of the things that kind of caught my attention about this was around 15 years ago, we were suing a jail in South Carolina for banning books and magazines. And that's how they came across our radar screen. They're banning our magazine, Prison Legal News. We were suing them. And in the course of the case, I was looking at the jail roster, and it indicates why people were locked up in the jail. And the jails, it was the Berkeley County Jail in South Carolina. And I'm looking at their jail roster. They had around 500 people locked up. And out of the 500 people, around 250 or 270 of them were there because for failure to pay child support. And I'm like, wait, okay, so literally half the jail population in in one county in South Carolina is there because they can't pay child support. They must not have anything else going on there. And so that's one of the, that's one of the things that kind of got my interest in it. And then I started researching it, doing some more, and found that South Carolina on any given day, a huge percentage of their jail population was locked up for not being able to pay child support. And then when we start looking at this nationally, we find, you know, some prison systems, I think Ohio at any given time, there's several hundred prisoners in state prison system that are there for not being able to pay child support. And I guess that's one of those things where, first off, you've got people being locked up. So that's one of the drivers of that's one of the drivers of mass incarceration. When you think about it, 50,000 prisoners in a country that's locking up over 2 million people on any given day, you think about it, well, maybe that's not, you know, maybe not, that's not such a big number. But put another way, 50,000 people is the entire prison system of, say, Ohio or Michigan. So you kind of put it in those terms, it's fairly big. And another way too is, you know, 50,000 people, that's the size, that's the size of a small city. There's a lot of towns in America that don't have 50,000 people in them. And I think that's one of those things where if you start thinking about what's the purpose of locking people up, and most people aren't thinking that, you know, you can say, well, you know, you lock people up to.
Go ahead. What happened? You froze up?
Child support is a crime.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. What, you finished?
Yeah, I can go on at length, but yeah, that's
okay. I know you can rap. You've been a guest on our show several times before. State legislators have enacted laws focused on non-custodial parents who do not or are unable to pay child support. These policies overlap into criminal justice. Non-custodial parents with child support orders can intersect with the criminal justice system in two primary ways. One of the questions I want to ask, when someone is arrested and they go to prison and their wife or girlfriend apply for welfare or public assistance, they have to name the father. And by naming the father, when they track him down, he's incarcerated, and that's applied to his particular, if he's in the federal system, they try to enforce payment while you're incarcerated, even though you might not have a job. And one of the things that get me about this whole non-support thing is the guy with a criminal record get a baby. He gets arrested for non-support of child support. He's released, and he still can't get a job because he got a criminal record. And he's rearrested again. In fact, my wife's brother was in a situation like that. You want to?
Yeah, I do. My brother was alcohol.
Where she got do it? Take that one.
Yes, my brother. One of my brothers was an alcoholic. So it was beyond him. So here he is. He keeps getting tricked to come into court or different scenarios, and shows up at these different scenarios, and every time he's arrested for non-payment. So how are you going to ever pay if you keep getting arrested and you don't have a job? This is just another a horrible way the black men are treated.
And I think that's one of the things, too, is when you start thinking about it, is that if you're locking people up because they're too poor to pay child support, how does locking them in prison or jail where they don't have jobs, or if they do have jobs, aren't being paid, how are they supposed to come up with the money to pay child support? And I think that's one of the things that that's kind of the catch-22 that kind of makes you think, well, maybe the goal of this is not to pay child support. It's rather to lock people up, saddle them with even more debt, disrupt their lives even more. And again, we're back to the fact that these are not criminal offenses. You know, no one is saying that being poor or too poor to pay child support is a crime, but people are still being locked up for it. And they're being locked up in big numbers.
You know, joining us is our co-host, Nkechi Taifa. She's an attorney, and she's been with us about at least 15 years or longer. Good morning, Nkechi. Thank you for joining us, because I know you always on the road. We are lucky to catch up with you, Nkechi, because every time we call, you here, you there, you everywhere. But the main thing is you're doing the people's work. Good morning, Nkechi.
Good morning, Roach. Good morning, Martina. Good morning, Paul. It's been a long time. How are you?
It has, Nikisha. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. And thank you so very much for sharing this very critical issue that is much more widespread than we know and doesn't have to be a situation at all, because you're right. This is not a criminal offense, and people should not be incarcerated as a result. And just so that folk understand, it's not that custodial parents are not going to be receiving child support. The state is paying child support. I mean, it's not like if the individual father is not able to pay, that the mother won't get, or whoever the custodial parent is, won't get child support. They're getting it from the state. But why incarcerate? There are other ways, okay, that can be utilized as opposed to making it even more difficult for non-custodial parents to get back on their feet.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
okay. Well, you got a poll
since there.
You want to respond?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly one of the things is, I think it's a critical point. And she notes is that, you know, child support is still being paid. It's whether or not people are being locked up for it. I think that one of the things that one experience that I had when I was locked up over I've been out over 20 years now, and there's a young man. He was married. He had three kids, and he got locked up, and he was making around $50 a month from his job as working in the prison, and his wife sought family aid to children, commonly known as welfare, to help the family make ends meet. And so then the state came after him for child support. And he's like, okay, well, I'm married. I didn't abandon my family. I'm already sending them $25 of my $50 a month to help out. And anyways, I was helping him basically fight this in court, in state court. And yeah, the argument there was he never abandoned his family. He was still supporting his family as best he could. He was just being deprived of the means to support them with, you know, a regular job or a full job. And the interesting thing was that basically this case, we kind of went back and forth with this thing for over 2 years. The state court judge refused to dismiss the case as he should have. And he let the county prosecutor basically keep this thing kind of going, even though, you know, he was complying with the law. He was supporting his family. He had never abandoned them. And that was just one of those things where it's kind of like, okay, why are we doing this? The more interesting thing was that the prosecutor was upset because I was helping the guy with the child support hearing, and he's trying to get the prison to stop me from helping this guy. And the prison's like, well, you know, hey, he's got a right, you know, the guy has a right to get help, and Mr. Wright has a right to help him if he wants to. So
yes, that's right.
But I think that gets, I think, to the bigger picture here is, you know, how much is being wasted in terms of resources, locking up and caging people that does no benefit to the children. You know, if we're locking up 50,000 people on any given day for this, you know, what about the children? And, you know, locking up their parents or generally, especially since it's usually the father, you know, that's not really helping kids with anything. And if you're hoping to get child support, locking people up and putting them in a position where they can't get a job and they can't get paid really isn't going to move that forward. It really isn't going to help that.
So this is seems like we're in a quagmire. What happens is when somebody get order for not getting arrested for non-support of child payment, can they be do they lose all rights to that particular kid if they're not paying child support and they've been arrested for not paying child support? What rights do the father have or a non-custodial parent have?
Usually that doesn't, usually the visitation and stuff like that isn't impacted by this. So locking people up supposedly for contempt, for not being able to pay the child support, but that's not affecting the rest of it. It's not affecting, It's not affecting the their visitation. It's not affecting their rights to the child or anything like that. This is being treated as the crime. It's being treated as is not complying with the court order, is being found in contempt of court and not complying with the court order to pay the amount of money. And they're not getting into the fact of, well, why can't you pay, or do you not have the money to pay, and things like that.
You know, it's amazing. It says an estimated 50,000 parents are behind bars on an average day for non-support payments. But information about these fathers in the recidivism rates are lacking. And I can imagine what the recidivism rate is. If you're in prison, you come out after a few years, you haven't had no income. You're making, some prisons, you don't make 10, 15, 20 cents an hour or whatever a day. If you make $50 a month, half of that goes to child support. What is it? What can be done to fight some of this, man? Because it seems like if 50,000 people going to getting arrested every day for non-payment of child support, and in some states they're incarcerated, what do you do if you were in that situation?
Well, one of the big things I think needs to be done is states need to make incarceration for non-payment of child support not an option. It needs to be taken off the table. One of the other things that's been done for some of the studies that find that states like South Carolina that incarcerate large numbers of people for not paying child support is they also don't provide, that's the other thing, is they also don't provide indigent parents with attorneys before they're locked up. And I think that's one of the things that happens all too often is people are being, and I think this is also kind of the gotcha moment that the government uses is on the one hand, they say, well, this isn't a criminal offense and you're not looking at being charged with a felony. Therefore, you don't have a right to a lawyer. And so they don't provide people with lawyers because the offense is supposedly criminal, yet they're still being locked up. And I think that's one of the things that we find in most times and places is that if people are provided with lawyers, they get better outcomes. And I think that's one of the things that we see with this is most people without legal training, especially when you factor in everything from other factors, like everything from poverty to low literacy levels, not being able to speak or read or write English, for example, mental illness, all these factors go into whether or not people can effectively represent themselves in court. And I think this is one of the things. They're locking a lot of these people up for non-criminal offenses, and they also don't provide them with lawyers. And one of the things that lawyers can do and do as part of their job of representing people is being able to tell courts and judges, why can't the person pay? Are there reasons that excuse the non-payment? And I think if you're actually concerned about keeping people out of jail, if you're actually concerned about ensuring that maybe they can pay child support, these are things that you would do. But the fact that pretty consistently across the country, and some jurisdictions are a lot worse than others on this, this is how you wind up with tens of thousands of people being locked up on any given day for a non-criminal offense, but they're still in prison, they're still in jail, and they're locked up behind bars with people who have been convicted of criminal offenses.
You know, one of the things that we've encountered that we know guys have been locked up for decades, and they've stayed involved in the kids' lives, even though they were in prison on another charge. But they stayed in touch with them, and they didn't lose their visitation rights. But can you lose your visitation rights if you are incarcerated and not paying child support or involved in a child's life?
I'm not sure about that, but I think that as a practical matter, if you're in jail or you're in prison for not paying child support, even though it's a civil offense, unless someone is bringing the kids to see you in the facility, you've effectively lost your visitation rights and your access to your children. And again, I think that this is one of those things that it's really important to note that what we're talking about are people that are being locked up for being too poor to pay child support. They're not being accused of abusing their kids. They're not accused of committing a crime. They're not being accused, much less convicted, of doing anything illegal. They're being locked up because they're too poor to pay child support. And I think that that's kind of the big, I think that that's kind of the big, kind of the big one here.
Mm-hmm. You know, Is this applicable to the other countries around the world? I haven't heard of how other countries like Britain, France, South America, do they have this same kind of policy in terms of locking folk up for non-payment of child support? Or are we the only country that's doing this?
As far as I know, this is unique to the United States. I know that in a lot of European countries, they have there's government benefits that provide for children, and I'm not aware of anywhere else in the world where people are being locked up. Certainly not in these numbers for failure to pay child support. And I think that's also one of the things too is just when you start looking at other countries in general, prisons are viewed as kind of a scarce resource, and they're only using it for for offenses that are truly a danger to society at large. And I think in most places, most countries are not viewing being too poor to pay child support as a danger to society, meriting incarceration. And I think we're also back to the common sense thing. I don't think anyone really thinks that locking people up for being too poor to pay child support and depriving them of a job or the ability to earn a living, I don't think anyone's thinking this is somehow going to survive, you know, this is going to solve or fix the underlying problem to begin with.
You know, this is like the law states that there's no debt to all prisons in America. You shouldn't go to prison for being poor. But this is an exact opposite of that, saying that these guys are being locked up because they're unable to pay child support. And they're unable to get a job. And for those men and women who've been in for a while and come out, it's double rough. Is there any help, any programs that you know of, Paul, in any state that can assist those men and women? Because you got women that sit locked up for non-support,
yes,
of non-payment of child support. Is there any, what remedy or what avenue would you suggest they explore to deal with this particular problem?
Well, the first thing, I think incarceration for non-payment of child support needs to be taken off the table completely. And I think that's really important to note that what we're not talking about. We're not talking about the cases of rich people who have the money to pay court order child support and are saying, they're telling a judge, you know, screw you, I'm not going to pay. occasionally, you know, this comes up in the news. There's some guy, they usually seem to be doctors for some reason. And, you know, okay, so the doctor's rich. He's got, you know, millions of dollars squirreled away. They're refusing to pay child support. Okay, we're not talking about that. You know, we're talking about the guys that and gals that, you know, they might be, they might be working in, you know, whether it's fast food or whatever, that they've got low paying jobs or they're unemployed. And, they're working in low paying jobs. They're being ordered to pay child support and they can't pay it. And that's what's landing them in prison. And I also think that some of the stuff that's also kind of a driver for this, a lot of states have child support guidelines. And the guidelines are just assuming that, okay, you know, one kid equals X amount of money, whether it's $1,000 a month or however much money that is. And it doesn't really take into account whether or not people can pay it or not. And then there's also the other factors that are kind of external to this, like, okay, are you losing your job? Are you unemployed? Are you underemployed? And these are all the things that are factoring in whether or not people can pay this. And then you've got judges that, don't care that people can't pay. And I've talked to people. I mean, I've met folks over the years that, they've talked about their experiences in the family court system where, they're scrambling to make ends meet, and you've got judges telling them, well, you've got to pay X amount of money in child support. It's like, okay, well, I don't make that much money. And they're being told, well, you need to work harder. And I think that these are some of the drivers of this. You know, the lack of attorneys in most cases, inflexible guidelines, and these are all factors that are leading to people being incarcerated. And again, I think that the critical thing here is whatever your views are on crime and punishment. You know, I think most people say, okay, if people are committing crimes, They should be punished. And then we can get into the discussion of whether or not incarceration is appropriate for all crimes, or is it appropriate form of punishment for all illegal acts. But I think the critical thing here to note is this is not a criminal act. The laws are not defining failure to pay child support as a crime. But we're still locking people up for being too poor to pay the child support. And I think that's one of the big things that makes this, I think, so, kind of so outrageous, is the fact that if you tell people, hey, we're going to lock people up who commit crimes, you can say, okay, well, yeah, I may or may not agree with that or whatever. But most people think you shouldn't be locking people up for doing things that are not crimes. And I think that's kind of where this kind of runs into the whole thing about why are we locking people up in the first place, and then why are we locking them up in such numbers?
Wait, Nikichi.
So this is hearkening in my mind back to, are folks really interested in the best interest of the child? And I say that because it's not just this locking up non-custodial parents for lack of paying or child support, but it's termination of parental rights for mothers who, or custodial parents or whatever, who are incarcerated pursuant to the Adoption and Safe Families Act. I forgot when that came out, back in the 90s or something along those lines, where if you're incarcerated for a certain period of time, and that time was a very low amount, your parental rights could be summarily, what was it, 15 months?
No, 18 months. That was Hillary Clinton's, signature legislation.
Outrageous, So it's all of this even in the best interest of the child. And I presume that law is still on the books. I mean, I know
it is.
It's like Roach Brown always says, some real joogie boogie going on here.
This is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. If you want to join our conversation, please call 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. And I know quite a few of you guys who are listening to the show have been in the joining and release and have these non-support child payment custody orders on you. So you can call in and share some of your experiences. We're going to share the mic now with my beautiful wife, Mertine.
I have a quick commentary I would like to share. We live in a country whose sole objective is to keep the black man from making a living, being subservient to this horrible prison system that is just an extension of slavery. We must change our attitudes about this country we live in. And this administration is making it vividly clear they do not care about us. We have the power, people, stand up and fight this evilness that permeates this society. Black people are still paying for this system just as we did during slavery. Black people would be winning if we were left alone. It's one thing to not help someone, but to go out of your way to hurt someone, that is the America KKK we live in. How do we change our attitudes? Like Frederick Douglass says, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, it never will. We got the power, people, act like it.
All right, Bertine, rock it.
I want to add something to this. I was locked up the last time, Paul, and I had a restitution order. And the judge asked me why wasn't I making restitution payments? And I explained that I couldn't find a job. He said, that ain't the question. The question is, why aren't you paying? And I said again, I can't find a job. And it didn't matter that I was in position, not in a position to pay the restitution. He wanted me to pay it. As always, he had another agenda. Because if you say you're not working, you can't find a job, why are you going to raise that issue in terms of not being able to pay it? And we said it earlier, debt towards prison. You shouldn't go to prison because you're poor. This is basically what it is, in essence, when these men and women can't find a job, can't support themselves, and they can't support their kids. and they are arrested, locked up, and incarcerated. And not only are they arrested and incarcerated, but when they come out, they still have this bill plus interest, and if and the amount that you owe goes up. So what do you do when you put somebody on a treadmill like this and they can't get off? You there, Paul?
Yes, I am. I think that's part of the problem, though, is that, you know, this, I don't think anyone's really claiming any of this is really about helping anyone. You know, I don't think they're claiming that any of this is going to help any children. I don't think anyone's claiming this is going to help, you know, the people that are being locked up. It's not helping the parents. It's not helping the kids. And again, I think this is one of the things that, having spent a lot of time in prison myself, since I got out of prison, I've advocated for people impacted by the criminal justice system. And I think that's usually the thing to keep in mind is people that are being impacted by this, they're usually struggling with a lot of things. For one thing, you're already so poor that for whatever reason, whether you're unemployed, you're underemployed, you don't have job opportunities, you don't have the ability to pay child support. So that's what's driving this, is the fact that you're already in a situation where you don't have money or you don't have funds for whatever reason. This is what's impacting you. And then on top of that, now you're being locked in a cage because you're too poor to pay child support. And I think that that's one of the things, of this is just like one more thing that's kind of holding you down or keeping you back or ensuring that you can't go anywhere or you know, be able to get ahead or even in these cases, I think, stay afloat. And I think that's I think this is some of the stuff that's just kind of driving this. And so far, this has been going on for decades. And so far, the last time we reported on this in Prison Legal News, I want to say it was around 10 or 12 years ago. And this is kind of an update to the previous article we did. And what we found in this article that's in the, I believe it's the May issue of Prison Legal News, is that basically not a lot has changed. It's still the same thing. Tens of thousands of people are locked up on any given day for being too poor to pay child support. And again, it's still not a criminal offense. And in the places that it happens a lot, people still are not being provided with lawyers to challenge their incarceration for this.
You're saying lawyers can't be able to be provided on a case of child support. Like it's some states charge make that a felony.
And if right, but in these cases, the bulk of the people that are being locked up, it's not even a criminal offense. And because it's not being classified as a criminal offense, but a civil offense, they don't have a right to a lawyer under the Supreme Court case of Gideon versus Wainwright. They're getting out of the state is getting out of providing lawyers by saying, well, this is civil.
I'm glad you said that. You just brought a smile to my face when you mentioned Gideon versus Wainwright, that case in Florida. I know exactly what you're talking about. You must be an old jailhouse lawyer, because only old jailhouse lawyers are familiar with Gideon versus Wainwright. Thank you for bringing that up. Wainwright and Gideon was a guy who got locked up in Florida. He went to trial, didn't have a lawyer. And he's one of the few times that the Supreme Court entertained a letter, not a motion. He wrote a letter to the court, and the courts appointed him attorney. And as a result of that, he had the situation was improved. So that's been a classic case that we use, especially when you come in, when you've been in prison. I worked in the law library for a little while. So when I heard Gideon versus Wainwright, you brought back some beautiful memories to me, Paul, right? The guys that we worked on that case about using that Wainwright versus the Gideon case.
Well, the golden oldies.
That's right. That's what they are. Since most states classify non-support payment of child support as a civil issue, in those states that classify it as a felony, you go to prison and you don't have no criminal record. Now you have a felony and you're released. And everybody knows if you got a felony, you can't get a job. So how does the guy get out of this hole? The hole only gets deeper and bigger. And when you said, I didn't know that you couldn't get an attorney for a civil situation like this child support. So what is a man or a woman to do who's in this situation? Do you have any suggestions?
This is the problem, is that the government's created kind of a catch-22. You're too poor to pay child support. By definition, if you're too poor to pay child support, you probably can't afford an attorney. And so now we've got the situation where people are being locked up for being too poor to pay child support. They can't afford an attorney. Then when they're locked up, they can't have a job, or they're not going to get paid any amount that's going to allow them to pay the child support. And so it's just kind of a situation where people are just kind of on a treadmill or on a cycle that just kind of has a lot of bad options that just keep getting worse. And again, I think that to an extent, this is kind of intentional because I think all of this stuff is foreseeable. And, you know, and I think just the common sense kind of indicates that, hey, if you're locking people up because they're too poor to pay child support, depriving them of the ability to have a job and get paid really isn't going to help anything if the object is to squeeze more money out of them.
You know, is there a rule of thumb in terms of if you're making $500 a week, how much can child support take from your paycheck? I guess it varies depending on which state you're in and whether it was civil or criminal.
I don't know. I know a lot of states have guidelines, and I was paying child support right after I got out of prison. And all I know,
you did 17 years and you came out there to pay child support.
Yes. And my take home pay at the time, I was making $19,000. This is 2004. And I was making $19,000 a year. My take home pay was around $1,100, $1,100 a month. And out of that $1,100 a month, $225 of it went to child support.
Wow. And if you refuse to pay that, you go back to prison. Can they violate you on parole?
I didn't have parole. So that was kind of a good thing. I didn't have parole, but I think this is also a thing too of, you know, and to be honest, I'm not really sure how I made it on, you know, $900 a month, but somehow I managed to, you know, but again, this is a situation where I think, you know, that's a situation where lots of people, you know, are in. I think it's also worth noting is that I know that in a lot of states too, whatever the child support guidelines are, parents can't waive them. In other words, even if you've got one parent saying like, hey, you know, I don't need the money, I don't want the money, or whatever, it's like, well, this is a mandatory state. The child support is mandatory. It has to be paid, even if one of the parent doesn't need it, if the custodial parent doesn't need it or want it. And I think that's one of the things that you know, we're back to again, is that the non-criminal nature of these laws that are still resulting in people getting locked up. And I think that's one of those things of, you know, you go to a jail and you talk to someone who's locked up and they've been locked up for months, and, you know, telling them that, well, you do know you're not here for a criminal offense. And they look around the day room or whatever and like, well, okay. And I'm locked in the same pod or the same cell block with a bunch of people who are accused of crimes or who've been convicted of crimes. And I'm here for something that isn't a crime.
Okay.
But everyone else I'm here with is.
We'll take our first caller. You're on the air, please. Question or comment for Paul, right?
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, come on.
Okay, this is Brother Carlos from Baltimore. The sister mentioned the continuation of slavery, and this concept of this child support being a profit center to feed and fuel the prison industrial complex seems obvious. And this seems to have been an ongoing situation for the African American, particularly since the exit from slavery and Jim Crow, a continuing theory or a policy to create a prison industrial complex through this so-called profit center that America has engaged in. What's your take on that?
Right, Paul, you got it.
Yeah, well, I think that I don't know that it's so much about money in the sense that prisons and jails don't create money in the conventional sense. They're not profit centers in that. Rather, I think it's more, I think the bigger role of this is more of a tool of social control. And I think that we see this in the sense of, you know, locking up 2.5 million people is not creating any money. All you're doing is taking taxpayer money, the tens of billions of dollars in taxpayer money, and you're redistributing it around. You're employing 1 million people, give or take a couple, as prison and jail guards. You're spending, I think the United States has spent over $1 trillion in the last 30 or 40 years building prisons and jails. That's $1 trillion that wasn't used to build schools or hospitals or highways or any of the infrastructure that's collapsing around us. This is all choices that are being made to take taxpayer money, take tax revenues, and spend it on other stuff. But the main goal, though, I think, is your tool of social control, is you're taking people. And I think in this case, you've got 50,000 people being locked up because they're too poor to pay child support. These are people, and I think it's really important to note, these are people that are not criminals. They have not committed a crime. They have not, and most people don't think that, hey, if I have a kid and I can't pay, and the relationship or whatever doesn't work out, I can't support the child, I'm going to go to prison because I'm too poor to support a child. You know, most people aren't really thinking in those terms until it happens to them. And I think this is part of the social control thing of, you know, keeping people in line and just basically imposing a police state on everyone that's poor that has children. And again, we're back to the thing. Most people don't think that being poor and having children is going to lead to them getting locked in a cage. And in America, not only does it happen, it happens a lot. And I think that one of those things, too, when we talk about 50,000 people on any given day, some of these sentences are fairly short. It's only a couple of weeks or months on end. So that 50,000, that doesn't mean that those are the only people that happen to in, say, a year. The number is much larger. It's just we've got 50,000 people locked up. That doesn't mean that these were the only people that were locked up in a given year.
Yeah, and it also includes those men and women who are already incarcerated and get a child support order while they're incarcerated before they came in. We got another call on. A question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. My name's Kashiba. This is not directly related to the topic, but this is about a relative of mine who was put in jail but was not taken proper care of while in jail and died. I'll give you a short background. He was shot in the back by an unknown person in a laundromat that was upset. No one that he knew, just an unknown person. While he was recuperating, he went to his ex-wife's house to discipline their children. She called the police and said he was abusing them. Not true. While he was in jail, they did not care for him. So he died.
How long ago was this?
This was approximately about 8 months ago.
Okay, let me suggest this. Since we're dealing with one topic, and what you just said is something that's powerful, and we need to get with that. Leave your name and number with the engineer, and we'll contact you and hoping to direct you to someplace and may get some help on that. Somebody
you
can talk to.
Thank you. Do I need to call back the station?
No, man, just stay on the line, and the engineer is going to take your name and number before
All
you
right.
hang up. Okay?
All right.
Go ahead, Paul. You heard what she said.
And I think that's one of the things that I think that happens is also the people, because they're being locked up, they're still in the same conditions as people that are accused or convicted of crimes, and they're being subjected to the same conditions. And among those conditions are the lack of adequate medical care. There was one case out of Ohio. I'm drawing a blank on the person's name. They were African American. It was a fairly famous rhythm and blues singers from the 70s. I'm totally drawing a blank on who it was. We reported in Prison Legal News. But anyways, they were locked up for failure to pay child support. They didn't receive adequate medical care in the jail, and they died in the jail.
Wow.
And the part that I thought was kind of really weird and ironic was his children then sued, his minor children then sued the jail over the medical neglect, and there was a multi-million dollar settlement in the case. And I thought that was kind of like one of those things, like, okay, so you lock my father up because he's too poor to pay child support, and then you kill him by not providing him with medical care. So yes, I mean, and that's one of the things that in Prison Legal News, we've reported these cases with monotonous regularity where, you know, yeah, people are being locked up for being too poor to pay child support, and they're being deprived of adequate medical care, mental health care, and in some cases, they're being killed as a result.
We have another caller on. Question or comment, please.
You're on the air. Moses.
Your name is what?
Yeah, my name Robert Moses. I'm calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
How you doing, Robert Moses?
All right. I think, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a book, The Souls of Black Folk. I think it's really relevant to this conversation. I believe Jesus is the answer for the world today, that we should honor our mother and father by getting married before having children, and that he cursed the fig tree. He was against the resurrection of Israel. And that, you know, as a guide to action, we live in a political economy, and we should guide ourselves accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. That was powerful. Okay, we got 3 minutes. Paul, you want to give our listeners some information on how to contact you and give me a little brief thing of what what Prison Legal News is all about and how it's being effective and being utilized all around the world?
Sure, absolutely. Anyone looking for more information on what's happening in prisons and jails in America, just go to our website, www.prisonlegalnews.org, and you will find out more than you ever imagined what's happening in our prisons and jails in this country.
And I'll drink to that.
Yeah, the reality is that it's not good. There's plenty of bad things that are happening, everything from, you know, violence, brutality, sexual assaults, lack of adequate medical care, you name it, it's happening. And I think that's one of the things that you might want to, if people want to learn more about it, they can go there. Same thing, if you want to contact me, just go to the Prison Legal News website. There's a contact us form there. You can reach out there. Real quick, while we're on the call, the gentleman I mentioned is 2010, and the singer, his name was Sean Leffert, and he was sentenced to 22 months in prison for non-payment of $90,000 in outstanding child support. And he died of inadequate medical care, and then the jail, the Cuyahoga Jail in Ohio, and his medical contractor, Midwest Medical Staffing, settled the lawsuit over his death for $4 million. So that's a case where a guy goes to prison for being too poor to pay child support, and they killed him.
And that is common. This is not an isolated incident, folks. I mean, situations like this happen all over the country.
Yes, and we reported this article. This was in 2010 is when we reported it in Prison Legal News.
Okay.
So is when it happened. So again, that's why I say is I think the things that people don't really think about is what's driving mass incarceration. Why do we have 2.2 million people locked in cages on any given day? And I think the important thing to remember is some people are locked in cages and they haven't even been accused of committing a crime.
Yes, yes. Okay. Our guest has been none other than the distinguished Paul Wright, editor of Prison Legal News, and he's been on the forefront dealing with legal issues in the criminal justice system for the last 20 or 30 years.
35, but not that we're counting.
Well, okay, 35. I go along with 35.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul. And you're always welcome here on Crossroads, and we'll be calling you back because your magazine, Prison Legal News, covers every aspect of the criminal justice field. And I want to thank you for what you're doing. Keep up the work. And we need information, and some of our resources that we pull from is from Prison Legal News. Thank you for what you're doing and for being on our show, and we will have you back. Akeecha, you got a closing remark?
I just want to say, because we've been asked to announce, WPFW is having this Jazz and Justice Festival Sunday, June 22nd, noon till 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park. Be there. Y'all been hearing the announcements, but we're advertising it. We're mentioning it on Crossroads as well. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. You've been listening to Crossroads with Mertine and Roach Brown and Akeecha Taifa. Our guest has been Paul Wright, the editor of Prison Legal News. And our topic this morning was failure to pay child support driving mass incarceration. We'll see you next week. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas. The
world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na.
Hi, I'm Robin Holden.
And this is Miyuki Williams.
The Jazz and Justice Festival happens Sunday, June 22nd, from noon until 8 p.m.
Presented by WPFW in collaboration with Washington Parks and People, the event is an activation of music, poetry, social justice teachings, elder circle, visual arts, wellness, children's activities, and more. It takes place in Malcolm X Park and the Josephine Butler Center, located at 16th and Euclid Streets Northwest.
Performers in the park include Saiz Kamaladeen, Kaba Soul Singer, The Silked Trio, Lady Murr, and the Proverbs Reggae Band.
There will be musical sets by DJs Abby, Lance Reynolds, Rita Burns, Willard, and Underdog.
In the Josephine Butler Center, there'll be short documentary screenings curated by Jordan Strudwick, an art exhibition created by Adrian Ferguson of the Art of Noise Gallery, and a community tea presented by Milani Douglas.
The Jazz and Justice Festival, an afternoon of joy as resistance, Sunday, June 22nd, noon until 8 p.m. Details at WPFWFM.org.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
The 2025 Home Rule Music Festival opens Friday, June 13th with a dynamic youth musical showcase at Woolly Mammoth Theater, highlighting the next generation of go-go and jazz artists. Then, on Saturday, June 21st, the festival continues with a live performance by Backyard Band and Plucky and the Oneness of Juju, and other standout artists representing go-go and jazz. The festival also includes live DJ sets, record fair, vendors, and community activities. Details at homerulemusicfestival.com.
Do you know what time it is?
Do you know?
Do you know what time it is?
Freedom!
June is Caribbean American Heritage Month. Thus, CAWI, CPN, ICS, AFI, and Africa World Now Project present the 23rd DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring. The festival showcases the best in Caribbean cinema with films such as the U.S. premiere of Fanon and more. The DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th. Information at afi.com/silver or 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings, this is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, Thursday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Freedom!
how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
No social justice issue or movement can